Welcome to the Unrefined Sophisticates. You are listening to Ken and Morgan Jones. Feel free to tune in on all podcast platforms and make sure to subscribe and comment. It doesn't have to be nice, they just want to hear your input. With that out of the way, get your ears ready, because you're going to want to hear this one. I gotta have my drink, pour me something in the cup. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Countdown. The time has come back around for another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. We made it to episode 198, two away from the big celebration. What that celebration is, have no idea at this point. Why? Because procrastination is my middle name, and I embody that. So catch it when you catch it. I'm your host, Ken Jones. To my left,
Morgan Jones.
Morgan Jones.
That's me,
Jones. Well, before we jump into the stuffs, we're gonna start with these shout outs. We're gonna shout out to Vancouver and Houston, Big H-Town Dine, for being our top listening cities this week outside of Portland, Oregon. We're going to shout out to the UK and Canada for being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. Shout out to our sponsor, The Nine Brand. Check out the latest and the greatest at the9brand.co. That's theixbrand.co.com. Don't let your browser or autocorrect mess it up for you. Go ahead and follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Follow me, Can, at I Technically Can. And make sure to follow the sponsor at the IX Brand. Make sure you like and subscribe and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double up those entendres.
Ooh, I like the Broadway version.
You know, I'm adding to my culture something that I'm interested in. So there's a new mic cover that I put onto this microphone. I was doing a little bit of reading and they were saying that I can't even find a model, whatever Shure model this is, 7MB, 7BN, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then the super famous one, the studio version of it, which I believe is the 7B. Anyways, listeners, you know what I'm talking about. The sound difference, they said you can get it to sound a little bit more like the studio version by using the pop filter, which is a little bit longer than the one for this one. I forgot the exact breakdown, but I was interested in that because I realized when I was doing some voiceover work, I felt like I was too close up to the mic and it was catching the plosives and the P's. And they were saying that this extended length and having that bit of buffer kind of helps out. Who knows? We'll find out at some point. But another thing, as I was doing some voiceover work, sitting here in the room, two things. I realized I need to get a few of those soundproof pieces panels to kind of hit this corner. Yeah, hit the panels. I saw something on Craigslist, but I was like, OfferUp. They looked a little flimsy. And then I looked on Amazon and I was like, oh, those are the Amazon pack that you got.
Also looks flimsy.
And so I was going to throw those up. But anyways, with that, I was noticing how in the voiceover where we're not just having a conversation back and forth with each other for pod purposes, when I'm thinking about what I'm saying, that I feel like the way that I enunciate hits a little different. And it makes it to where I feel like I had to do a lot of editing. Like I felt like I was popping peas hella hard. And I feel like my breathing was just way more intense. Like the before saying something, that little sound of like taking in some air before speaking, where I was like, this is, I'm in here having to really mix and master this joint right now. And I don't like it.
That's not what I signed up for.
Yeah, not at all. So that was a little moment in time.
I do just want to point out that you just let us know that you were doing voiceover work very casually, like,
oh,
like we were all in the know, you know. So when I'm doing my voice,
that is work, hilarious, like, that was, because wow, I made that sound fancier than what it was. Is I sat and I was thinking on the creative aspect of needing to create some explainer videos, and so having the audio going with some of the things in which I'm doing, more so explaining the brand and kind of breaking some of the things down. And so as I was doing it, because I want to do those, the outside of Instagram captions, like I'm trying to figure out how to do that using Adobe and stuff. And I feel like also just getting people to understand the Nine brand a little bit more than just some of the general posts and so on, giving people a little bit of the background and idea of what the brand means and stands for. And I like the way that doing voiceover work sounds versus doing some promo.
Oh, no, I'm up. Like, I now also do voiceover work. You
that's,
know,
you know, yes, it's, I'm using, that's it.
I'm running with it. I'm a fan.
And I will say, while I was doing it, I was also thinking, like, oh, this is the time when I was talking about doing the adult time bed stories, adult bedtime stories.
Yeah.
I was like, in this world of AI, I can have it produce the content and I'm just reading the content. So if I can just come up with some characters and a general story arc, I can just throw it in there. And, you know, this ain't the focus ain't so much on just riveting stories. It's more so of a calming voice to get your blood pressure lowered and get you closer to that Sandman escape. So I may play around with that.
I am excited for this. Mm-hmm. Developments.
You know, development. Breaking news. You heard it here, folks.
Man.
Right. You need to follow, like, and subscribe.
It's true.
Smash that button.
It's true. So a lot has happened since we recorded last.
Yes.
And one of the things that happened was the was just a couple of days ago, just very recent.
Uh-huh.
Affirmative action was up for discussion with a suit that was in front of the Supreme Court, which, if we'll remember, is packed with conservatives.
No.
So when somebody says it doesn't matter who the president is, I want to remind you that Donald Trump packed the courts with conservative judges and things are changing. So yeah, it matters.
1000%.
It matters.
The decision makers sit in that room.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. And the scandal after scandal after scandal right now with the Supreme Court, which I find also interesting by the makeup of it. But it's, you know, accepting fancy trips and rides on private jets and yacht time, spending all this time with billionaires who then are also going to have a case in front of you later down the line. Lots of that been going on. Affirmative action was one of the cases that you know, that they're trying to get done. I think June is the end of it. So it's like of their whatever particular session the Supreme Court is in. So they were just like running through stuff. So it's just like headline after headline after headline. But affirmative action has been ruled, you know, like unconstitutional, I guess. I don't really, I don't know. I don't remember the, what it's called, but like they have decided that you cannot use race as any sort of determining factor in admissions for college, which is cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My question would be, why did we need to have this in the first place?
Because those letters that were going out telling people that because you're a Negro, yep, can't come here. Regrets inform you. And wasn't there something being put up where there was an Asian American that that was part of what they were using as kind of their take on?
Yes. So definitely the what white supremacists will do is use a token whenever they possibly can. Right. Yeah. And so the idea of having an Asian student, and this has worked, the anti-affirmative action propaganda that is very targeted to Asian, Southeast Asian communities, so that those who are considered a model minority will also side with white supremacy in the moment, because they're like, this is merit-based. I'm doing all this work. I should be able to get into the school that I want. And I agree. I, for one, believe if you have those grades and you've done all those things and worked really hard to get into the school, you should get into the school. You are not getting into the school because of Black people or because of Latinos. Like, you are not getting into the school because of the legacy admissions, which is 70% white.
Dun, dun, dun. This can't be. The typo somewhere.
Nah, no typo. No typo.
Gotta be a typo.
Notice that those same, Asian students who I'm just going to continuously say have the propaganda worked. I do not have any sort of upset with folks where that have been targeted with disinformation, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I should probably say something else. That's not really what I mean, but doesn't matter. The point is that they are not mad at white women.
Okay.
They are, nobody is saying anything about white women. White, who are the biggest benefactors of affirmative action. So know that if they're not out here throwing these, true statistics around, like white women being the ones who benefit the most from, and that as from the day that it started to the day it goes away, it has always been white women benefiting the most. If they're not talking about that, they're also not talking about merit. Because why are you not talking about who benefits the most? If the issue is a merit thing, which it isn't, that is legitimate white supremacy propaganda. If it was merit, would you need affirmative action in the first place? Like, I kind of feel like you wouldn't.
Talk about it.
So the racists that do the racist things then get like sort of reined in just a touch, right? It's like, hey man, you got to at least start looking at other people. You can't just dismiss them off top. That somehow gets turned into a racist policy that is now called a racist policy, when it is in fact a response to racism. And not just racism, but systemic racism. So affirmative action is a Band-Aid. It was never going, affirmative action to me was never going to ever do what it was intended to do. And as evidenced as white women being the biggest benefactors of that policy. So for me, it's not a thing that we need, we wouldn't have needed it if it wasn't the place that has never worked on merit, never run on merit. This is not a country that has ever, like, please, I challenge anybody out there. Tell me when this country ran on merit. Tell me when capitalism ran on merit. If it were true. I'm sorry. If it were true, there would just not need to be any of these things in place. The idea that now that it's merit based, and I use the biggest air quotes for that, and we just see more white people in these, you know, exceptional colleges, that's proving a thing that isn't real. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to be like, see, it is. The white people are just smarter. The white people just work harder.
Which is
not true.
Because it's getting back to just that point that I made at the beginning, back when those letters were being furnished. Now it's not going to have a letter coming out, but it's easier for the people who want to keep things a certain way to not have to justify it now and just go on ahead and do their thing.
Yeah. And one step further, though, because it's not keeping it how it is if you repeal certain things, right? And okay. So what is actually happening is those little baby band-aids of progress that have happened are being stripped right now in front of us. And if this were the Jim Crow era, people would be saying something to the effect of like, or if we're looking back at it, we'd be like, how did they let that happen? You know what I mean? Like, why weren't those people rioting in the streets? Like, it's happening. We've already got it down that it's okay to shoot innocent people in the street. We already got that down. Mm-hmm. In their bed, in their, not bothering anybody. We already got the country to be okay with that. That's, you know what I mean? Now it's okay that a 10-year-old can be, you know, impregnated by a family member or non-family member. Doesn't matter. Is put in a position where they are now pregnant and, hey, baby, you got to deal with that. And we're fine with it.
So that's on you.
That's, you know, motherhood is, you're blessed. Lucky you. You got an early start. And we're fine with it.
Yikes, that's gross. Just hearing that laid out like that,
we gross. Imprison innocent people every single day.
Yeah.
We have the biggest population of incarcerated people in the entire world, and we're fine with that. Like, innocent people. And we're okay. Fine. Because none of this is what the conversation is, you know, like the discourse is not about how things are being rolled back. We are currently in this wave of transphobic and homophobic, I don't even know what to call vitriol, but it's like moving into policy, right? So yeah, you can just discriminate against people now. Thank you to the Supreme Court. You can absolutely just discriminate and say, I don't make wedding cakes for gays. I don't make wedding cakes for blacks. I don't make whatever. Like, I don't make baby shower things for single mothers, or, you know, like, and we're fine with that.
Like, I did see a joint on the Twitters of, you know, somebody made one that was like, we don't sell to Trump supporters and we don't sell to churches if you are not flying a color flag, rainbow color flag, and support all people. And of course, the outrage,
of course,
was, I thought, very interesting. Based on what is this for, guys? Is it for everyone, or is it just for what you want it to be for?
There we go. Because there is this disconnect of like, we're gonna strip things as if we're gonna make it okay to discriminate, as if that cannot then be used against you. You know, like, as if that, you are never having to put yourself in a position of like, I could be discriminated against, because you've decided that everything that you are is the norm, the social norm. It is the thing to be. It is the average. Everyone's supposed to be you.
Yeah.
And moreover, other marginalized groups aren't really looking to discriminate against like the conservatives or straight white men or straight white women. Like, no one's looking to do that except for the people who are looking to take those things, like make it okay to be discriminated against. Like, people ain't looking for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to put signs up that's like no whites. That's not exciting to me. You know what I mean? Like, that's not fun.
Mm.
But it is for people that are completely delusional in the fan fiction that is white supremacy. Like, because if you can honestly believe that we've ever been in a meritocracy, then that means you have to believe in the white supremacist lies that is Black people are just inherently not as smart.
Yeah.
Just inherently not smart, and, you know, just makes good labor. Good for work. Good for babies.
It's seeing the things pop up. I mean, that we've also been seeing a lot of the vitriol spewed about the the blocking of the student debt relief that was on the table also. No! And what gets me though is just how, like, I was actually reading through a thread that was, you know, discussing it, but talking about the people who were very vocal about this, but also have PPP loans that were forgiven, and the way in which they communicate about student loans versus how their loan.
It's completely different. I already paid off my student debt. I don't know what you're talking about.
And that one just doesn't, like, trying to understand the logic in that of where you're coming from or where in your head those are two separate things. When we strip away the names, it's a loan that you signed up for.
A way bigger one for the most part, too.
Way bigger. And in a lot of these cases, these funds were used in interesting ways.
They were asked for in interesting ways.
Yeah. And then we're immediately, when that relief option popped up,
I bet you took it.
Clicking and clacking right on that keyboard.
You had Sally get right on it.
Yeah. So it's you know, again, interesting how that works out. And, you know, and in these same type of things that, you know, this idea that places were just handpicking, and it's like, this isn't stuff that's being made up. You just 50 years ago, 60 years ago, letters being mailed, not anything about the merits. Your merits had nothing to do with this.
Going out by U.S. Postal Service.
Look.
On college letterhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I regret to inform you, no. Brown?
Nah.
No, Black?
Not playing with that. Pat. Send in a picture next to this. his color
remember
scale.
When they tried to get us with, like, put your picture on your resume. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was never... Never.
Oh, you ain't.
I feel like the new version of that though is just throwing your LinkedIn on there.
For sure. For sure.
That's yeah.
But like then? I mean, imagine. Yeah. Imagine.
Yeah.
And what do you think that's for? Maybe it has something to do with the fact
even that thinking about names in general, right? Of how much, like, there are actual studies you can look up on even forecasting based on your name, what you're most likely to fall into in terms of a career path. They broke it down from like your doctors and surgeons and so on, all the way down to your trash man, trash people. And that range, based on these names, how likely you were to end up on an end of this, one end or the other of this.
Right.
And that's, yeah. And I just... It's interesting too when you have people, because I think about one of my Mexican friends who full on Mexican from Mexico, but had a last name that had nothing to do. So on paper, This just looks like, hey, this is, I think, an Irish last name. I think
Okay.
And show up and it's like, hey, and I, you know, you think of pre being able to look on a LinkedIn or something to look somebody up or some socials and just how many times there was shock.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Of like, yes, this is the, everything is hidden. And then somebody shows up and it's like, ooh.
Ooh, actually, we're not actually hiring.
We're not hiring. No.
Right now.
You didn't see that post.
I've gotten that for people thinking I was a man. Like Morgan Jones is
just a sex name.
And if your default with my credentials, I guess, was like, oh, that's a man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've gotten that where show up and they're like, huh.
You know,
yeah, that's, speaking this
of, is not I was just expect. Hearing about names in general. I was listening to a pod about names and they were saying how last names just started. Names were a later thing once we actually started breaking up into our groups and industrializing things, actually. So like when agriculture and all that became a thing, it was a way to differentiate. But then getting into the space of last names, and I believe they were saying, yeah, it was clan seems to be the first, and that's coming from China, of that being the first last name that can has been recorded. But then getting into the different places, how names work, like I want to say it was Iceland or somewhere, that you can't be named, your name has to match your gender. So having a name like Morgan, which typically is going towards a man, that would have to be assigned to a male child. And I thought that was wild.
As a unisex name in Iceland.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Where, yeah. And so they talked about that. They talked about also just some of the names that you can't have. Like, I didn't know in the UK you can't have a name like Queen, King, any of that type of stuff. Anything that's tying in with the royal, that can't be your first name. So
we are under a monarchy over here. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that never even crossed my mind, but it was like, yikes. And there's another place you can't have a number as your name. But seven, you can have seven. And then there are some things here, even in
divisible.
The
States. Ooh. Wait, why can seven be a name though?
I forgot what was the reason, what they had on there. But yeah, it was just a bunch of interesting name facts that I was like, ah, interesting. But anyways, unisex names. That's what that tangent spot from.
Yep. Yeah, my unisex name has gotten me indoors and then be like, and thank you for being here.
That's
go ahead and wrap it up.
And I think there's the, it's interesting because on paper, thinking of having the last name Jones, that's such a, that can apply to quite a few things.
Anyone,
the amount of Asian that have, yes, like that blew my mind. Once I started getting older and searching my name and seeing these pop-ups, it was like, oh, I've never ran into it in person, but that's tight. Anyway,
yeah, I haven't done any sort of like figuring out the what is it? Etymology? Yeah,
yeah.
At all of either of my name? Like, nope.
I have not either. Let me see.
I just assumed it was like, well, that was the plantation owner's name of whoever got married.
Yeah, that's
like that's where I landed. We just
the
come
surname Jones is a holdover from the patronymic naming convention, means son of John.
What?
What? There ain't nothing cool. That's English and Welsh from the Middle English personal name John, J-O-N, with a E-F-N. With
that is pronounced Stone. Okay.
Is it genitival? I've never read that word or probably seen
Wait,
it.
What is it?
Genitival, G-E-N-I-T-I-V-A-L, or post-medieval excrescent? What? E-X-C-R-E-S-C-E-N-T. All right. The surname is especially common in Wales and southern central England. It began to be adopted as a non-hereditary surname in some parts of Wales from the 16th century onward, but did not become a widespread hereditary surname till the 18th and 19th centuries. In North America, this surname has absorbed various cognate and like-sounding surnames from other languages. It's very common among African Americans and Native Americans. Whoa. Habitual or occupational name for someone who lived or worked at John's
house. It says Jones was the fourth most common surname in the 1990 U.S. Census.
Whoa.
That's why.
John was popping. That's wild. Nothing cool. Ooh. It wasn't like rose from the ashes.
Right.
We just was at John's house.
It was just at John's house. We just on the same thing. What did I say? We from the Jones plantation. Right. Working at John's house.
There he is.
So one of the other things I would like, thank you for getting this on the doc, because we talked about this on the news last week. There was an attack by a
vicious attack.
Thank you. Yeah. And you know, like, okay, no, I'll come right back to it. There was a vicious attack by a white man who attacked a black business owner outside of their business on the phone.
Just think American History X.
I mean, that's literally how I, thank you.
Yeah.
How I explained it on the news. I called him Danny Vineyard too. And then we found out his name later that day. I was like, you know, the movies, they really do inform us.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, dude looks like a neo-Nazi. He is doing his level best to pummel this black man. And unfortunately, we do not see much intervention until a car is honking. It stops right next to them. And that's when the guy walks off. It wasn't until this very moment for me, seeing the title of this on the doc, that I knew that he was arrested, because it has been a, who is this guy? Okay. We've now identified, where is this guy? The police can't find him. He's supposedly, you know, Frank.
Also, let me note the way that they found him.
Okay, please give us, I was,
they didn't
say, give us a good done.
It wasn't a search and find mission. It was some officers who were assisting another situation unrelated to this, and while there, happened to notice a gentleman walking past that looked very familiar,
because he's on the force.
And from there, hey, and got him arrested at that point. Which, shout out to the dude that does the TikToks. White dude with the beard,
Tizzy.
There we go. Shout out to him. Sure. He was definitely putting the videos out in the mix. That's what I started seeing, and that was picking up the steam. He's doing the Lord's work here on earth.
And to be clear, that incident happened June 15th.
Yes.
Like, so for that to just be getting traction, and apologies to the people that are not in Portland, this is hyper local, but it is also applicable. You know, like, the police knew who this dude was.
Cause they had a lot of run-ins. They were saying that they was running out his rap sheet, it was like, oh.
Fam stays in contact.
Yeah.
Stays for similar type
of situations.
Oh, absolutely.
This ain't a one-off.
This is not a one-off. When Ken says vicious, this is what I wanted to get back to. The video that I've seen, the only one I've seen being circulated, is seconds of this beating.
Yeah.
I have no, there is no part of me that's like, let's see the rest. You know, let me see the whole thing, because it's so vicious. It's so brutal. You don't need more. You don't need to understand how long that happened for, you know, like,
yeah.
It's graphic. It's gross. It's like, and he just walked off. He just walked off. And like, the fact that he was walking across the street, checking his sore knuckles, looking at his hand, like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And he just gets to go up. I mean, that's 3 weeks.
Yeah. I will say, too, if you are hyper local, make sure to go check out Laurel's Chicken Shack.
Yes.
They actually got great chicken. Pre this, it's the amount of things that, I mean, in the city, Jack's Chicken is like the chicken that you talk about. And this has been one that I was continuously hearing, seeing photos and being like, okay, that actually looks like it would taste good. Based on the photos, not soggy chicken, but definitely go support. If you are local, I know that they're doing a thing. I believe it may be actually Wednesday by the time y'all hear this, it'll be the day after. So tomorrow, for the people who are listening, I believe they're doing something there to kind of just promote and show the support of the community.
And if you're not local, there is still a GoFundMe that his that Daryl's brother made for him and the business. Like, one thing that I think that people lose sight of is the amount of emotional distress that happens when something like this happens.
Yes.
This is, if you think about work as where it, like, your second home, and I know that doesn't sound cute, but that really is where you spend your time. This is not just his work, but also his business, right? And something you're building, something you've been working towards. For your job and your life's work at this moment to be completely associated with likely one of the most traumatic events that has happened to you, it isn't just like, get right back to work.
Not at all.
It isn't like just move your food cart.
Which,
you know, like, which is also not a thing, but like, the whole point is, until you are able to work through that trauma, that is a traumatic, you are re-experiencing that in some ways over and over.
Yes.
And to expect people to get right back to it after being in a situation that is so heinous, I hope he doesn't go back to work for a minute. You know what I mean? I hope that all the people near, far, all the things are able to give what they can to that GoFundMe so that they don't lose everything while trying to heal physically and emotionally from a hate-filled attack. Like,
you know, I was actually having a conversation that, and it's a little tangent, it's on this, but just kind of going a place with it, is while discussing this for a bit yesterday with a group of other Black men, we were saying how, you know, him being arrested, and there's going to be, you know, some, you know, he's going to get an issue when he hits the county and so on. And I was like, yeah, that, okay, I hear that, but also, so you got to take into account, we know the politics behind bars, and there's going to be the actual white supremacist back there. Like, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. That is who we. Now,
he did exactly what he was supposed to do in the eyes of the
Lord's
people.
Work, their Lord. Ken's work and saying how like this ain't this, he will definitely run into some people who are going to be willing to crash out over that.
Right.
But there's also going to be met with, this is going to be a different level of when you get in and having to prove yourself. He's proven himself to a crowd of people. So they're willing to support and they riding for what he's going in for.
The politics of it is, is a different level. Like it's not nearly as simple as just like, oh, he gonna get his. Like,
yeah,
ain't that simple.
Nope.
It's not that simple out here either. So like, you know, we got to stop pretending like, if as long as people are going to jail and the people that are already there can handle that scandal, as if that doesn't mean new charges, if that doesn't mean
like, right.
Their entire life on the line, like that's a whole different way that we, you know, just even look at incarcerated individuals as if, well, you already there.
That's it. And that's, I mean, and that's where you get into like, you know, if you got a lifer, that's what we talked about. You got the lifers that don't care. But again, I told them that even with that, it's still politics. You can't just make moves
because they're going to be here.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So it's like you making moves. It got to still be signed off. And that is definitely something that, you know, people may go to war, but it turns into this thing where it goes from just this one on one to now this turns into the race thing. So now it's a riot that's kicking off. And you're going to get, the lifers who don't care if they get a time ad, but you also got the people who only are doing 16 months, 18 months, and, you know, the possibilities of it increasing their time being spent behind that gate. And, so anyways, that was a tangent just on some of the conversation of being had about how this plays out, because, you know, to them, this is a martyr. He is doing the work. Right. And it's a lot of people that are, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a GoFundMe pops up for this man and
his
court fees and lawyer fees and all that.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely certain it exists.
Right.
That is the way of this world, at least like that. I feel like you would have had to at least hide that you gave money to that guy. You know what I mean? Maybe 10 years ago. And now.
Nah, they put in their name. They ain't even donating anonymously. They got LinkedIn bio.
For real, they're telling everybody about it. They sharing it from their actual personal Twitter. It's wild. So what I find the tie in here with those Supreme Court rulings, with the way that race is being discussed in this country, and the way that just that sort of aggrieved sentiment of white men, it is all very much like it's coming to a head. So when you hear like major, you know, a person who who calls themselves racist, right?
Yeah.
A white person that says, yes, I'm a racist, is a refreshing find, honestly, because most white people will just change the definition of what racism is so that they can't be called one. But when you find one that says it, it is those folks that usually are like, no problem telling you, I'm ready for an ethno state. I don't want these people here. I do understand that there are, you know, like some reasons to have some of these darker folks around, but it won't be to be civilized, you know?
Oh.
It won't be that they get to own their business or no, it's to be subjugated. I want folks to understand what it looks like when you take away things that have been put in place because it's already been there. Like, you wouldn't have to have affirmative action if there wasn't open discrimination against marginalized people ever in the first place.
Boop. Boop.
So not only is that not a meritocracy, it is rooted in racism and sexism and all of the other things.
Yeah.
You have to have all of those things to exist for people to, it doesn't mean that they have to have all of it and that they have to believe all of it. They just have to believe some of it. And some of it means having Asian people tell you that affirmative action is wrong because they didn't get in to a school because of Black and brown people, not because of the legacies, not because of the insanely mediocre wealthy white people that took their spot. Like, I'm sorry, I forgot where I was going. I lost my place. Where this connects is seeing a hate crime played out on camera.
Yeah.
Seeing it take that long for the police to do something, knowing that the police even blamed Daryl in the first place on some, like, well, he didn't tell us it was a hate crime. Like, he didn't want to talk to us.
So what?
When I tell you that is a Hannah Montana situation, I don't know if that dude that just beat me up is your cousin, your brother, or your brother in arms. I have no idea. So the last thing I'm going to do is explain. It's just that the expectations when something dramatic happens is just wild bananas. But anyway, we watch a hate crime play out. This is not the first time. This will not be the last time. This is another time. And we have become fine with it. We have become fine with seeing Black men shot in the street. We have become fine with seeing Black men beaten in the street.
Is it fine or desensitized?
It doesn't matter. And the reason why it doesn't matter is no action is being taken. So whether you don't care or you really do, but you're still going to sit on your couch, everywhere in America should look like Paris right now. Because that's what's the level of what is being done to the people is that egregious. And instead of us doing something, it's like, well, you know, hey, they're just going to return us back to what it was. What are you going to do?
Right. It's, you know, I always think about that in the way of kind of just what we talked about briefly in the idea of him hitting prison, right? And the part of raising up and going skits, who does it fall on? Like, who's going to say, we watched a Capitol be stormed, right? So for me, it's the amount of people that, yeah, we can bounce out and overpay and beat up, and who's it going to fall back on? And that's, you know, the thing that people, at least from my experience, the men I know, as we talk and discuss these things, it's like, that's the part. And that's where a majority are stuck in that space. Because how many have to be a martyr for something to change?
I feel you. And I don't think that it's the place of Black people to do
right
that portion.
Right.
But that, your point, absolutely. Yeah.
That's a space. And what we see, this stuff that, you know, does happen, as we just went back to going back to, this is a callback, you know, if you're fancy, in the way of what we said, the decision makers at the top. It's like, these are the decision makers.
Yep.
Like, regardless of who the president is, like, you have people who are the face of a tech company, you know, who's actually doing the things. It's these developers. It's these are the people doing the things. That's just the face of the things being done.
Right.
And understanding that that's where this is impactful. And this is why those votes matter. This is why showing up in these places locally, not just when it's our 4-year election cycle. And I mean, we talked about this on this pod, is showing up for the things locally. Yeah. And those things catch the momentum. You know, you think about even with the prison phone calls, right? And those now being a free thing, when those rates were crazy for a moment,
Robin,
for a long time, not a moment, for a very long
time.
Right. But it also took a while for activists and organizations to get this starting on a local level.
Always
starting this.
Yes.
And then that bounced out into state. And then that ended up making its way. And it wasn't a quick thing, but it started with people actually showing up on a local level and then that being able to expand.
Yep.
Momentum causes more momentum.
And we need it.
You know,
we need the momentum for moving forward, not going backwards, not going to a place that only really works for one group of people.
So before jumping into our tech talks, I do want to touch on, you had this point on here that I think is something important to hit on, which was the people running a lot of these hip hop forums, blogs, and social media outlets.
Yeah, so there's a thing for me that, and I'll try and be very fast, but there are blogs, you know, that sort of appear to drive the culture. And what I mean by that is a trusted news source or a trusted source of where to get your music and, you know, whatever, whatever. Like, these particular things like Daily Loud or Rap House TV. No, not Rap House TV. Baller Alert.
Yeah.
Like, these are, they are not run by Black people. They were not started by Black people, but they absolutely target Black people. So it is to get engagement with Black people, right? And I do not mean Black music listeners, Black news watchers. I mean Black people. So what it starts as one thing, and that's usually music, and it starts with just posting things. Is this trash or not? Do you like this or not? Like, get people engaging in the comments, and then all of a sudden the content shifts. And now we're showing things like homeless people and people on drugs, and you're like, what's this crackhead doing? You know, like that kind of, now all of a sudden that's the content. Then we're adding in other things. Now we're adding in the police have killed this Black person. Let us know your thoughts below. Like, when it just becomes fodder.
Yeah.
And the reason that I even bring this up is this is absolutely on purpose a way to insidiously inject white supremacy directly to Black people without them understanding that that's what just happened. And I don't mean that Black people don't get it. I mean, they think they're somewhere trusted, right? But all of a sudden you start saying things about immigration.
Boop. Round up.
Yeah, you know, and when stoking the are you a Black American, a descendant from slaves, or are you a Black immigrant? Like, when you start doing that stuff, listen, the device is just a blog, but the content is still white supremacy. And you can be Black, brown, white, all the things, and still uphold white supremacy. But there's something to be said about white men specifically who go into this kind of business, that do not talk like this, that do not live like this, that do not, you know what I mean? Like, you are not of the culture. It is just a cash grab. And it also is insanely harmful, because all of that
narrative that get pushed and the framing that gets thrown in there doesn't fall back
It's the air we breathe, right? White supremacy, patriarchy, capitalism. That's the air we breathe. But when, like you said, it's coming to me in this way, and now it's framed in, now you're talking basketball. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, now you're talking about football. How come now we're, there's a political something with what you were talking about? It's gross. And it highlights why we need to know, and why it matters to know who runs certain things and what their motivations are, because they're not going to necessarily say it, but you can figure out their motivations with their actions and their money. And on that
note,
let's talk about some tech.
That mic got dropped. So jumping into this, I technically can section of the podcast, something that I thought was pretty cool that I came across is ChatGPT inventing new emotions.
No.
And what? And some of them I'm like, that's icy.
And so, by that, do you mean the name, the description? Yeah,
the name and the description.
All right. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet. I'll
learn. So I'm going to throw a couple out here. Right. First one is I'm going to pronounce it nostalgia.
That is exactly how I would pronounce that.
Yeah. It says a longing for knowledge or understanding that once was, but has now been forgotten. This could be triggered by encountering a new topic or skill that you used to be adept to, but haven't practiced in years.
Yeah, I feel that.
So I like this one. Neural thirst. The intense desire for mental stimulation, usually satisfied by solving complex problems or learning new skills.
Wow.
Next up, it's got epic grief. The profound sadness experienced when finishing a beloved book, series, or television show. It's the mourning of the end of an epic journey shared with beloved characters. We can all identify.
Very much so.
This one I like too. Libido light. The spark of excitement when discovering a shared kink or fetish with a partner. When you into what I'm into? What? That's we got a what?
So you just in a sentence.
Because it's like too close to flashlight. I wish that. You,
why the light? I feel like it doesn't
know. Opti-nervous, a blend of optimism and nervousness felt when one embarks on a new project or journey, hopeful of success, but acutely aware of the risk of failure. I was about to say accurately aware, but no. That's one of those ones. Like being like I'm for this, but also having that feeling of like this could, you know, I'm aware that this
I'm realistic as well. Like I'm optimistic for the outcome, but I'm realistic in the way that things go. Yes. What is it? Opti-nervous?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I identify.
And then ooh. This one, I'm like, I'm going back and forth on e-regret because I'm thinking of it erotic regret, but it could be e-regret. With that, the disappointment when a sexual encounter doesn't live up to expectations.
Said you weak.
That's it. You weak. You're done, son. And then lastly, but not leastly in this thread, globe anxiety. The low-grade constant anxiety about global issues like climate change, political instability, etc., that affect all humanity.
It's the pictures that go with it for me.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
They are... I don't know what the prompt was, if it was like ChatGPT, create emotions.
Yeah, that's what I tried to look around to see. But
like,
yeah.
This is pretty great.
Yes. I definitely was trying to find if there was something that popped up in terms of a prompt. I didn't see anything listed as far as what the prompt was, but what I do know is that they definitely used Midjourney for the pictures, because notice that all the photos are similar in time to how they were designed, and so that was them plugging in the information in order to have a AI generated photo to go with each of those. Which I looked into that, getting into Midjourney and so on, and there's not like a free trial or a free thing. You actually got to get the different accounts, but I'm almost tempted to do one for a wait, hold on. Did somebody update? Hold on. Look. Okay. So they updated prompts. Somebody just put in, please come up with 10 new emotions, include their name and what may lead to them. You may exaggerate or take creative freedoms. That's and then the pictures were just what I said. They were created in Midjourney with some Photoshop AI generated fill features. That is okay. I'm about to play with that myself.
Please, because I want to see the I want to see if it's different at all. And I want to see if people identify, like looking at these comments, seeing people be like, wow, I feel seen. Like, I, oh, wow, who's looking at me right now?
Yeah. And so with that, that's going to be our wrap for this week on these things. That was one of the big news joints that kind of caught my attention. I got some more, but we'll get into those joints next week. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all thanks for rocking with us another episode. You can follow us on the Instagrams. Follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Follow me at I Technically Can. And follow The Nine Brand. That's D-I-X-B-R-A-N-D. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. It's checkout time. Gotta go. Gotta go. Yeah, baby.